This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
We welcome you in. It is another edition of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. And as we kick off a new set of football season broadcast scheduling here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, it is great to welcome you in our Tuesday crew right here. I'm Ben Wilson with the former college football national champion at Colorado, longtime NFL wide receiver, and frequent Lombardi Line contributor. It's not like this guy is any stranger to the Lombardi Line show, but it's Mike Pritchard.
All right,
Mike,
different location though. Great to be with you.
Yes, we are absolutely over now at Circa here in our Lombardi Line show. Patrick Maher, Michael Lombardi, still the mainstays on this show, but we're going to be here at times Tuesdays, Wednesdays here throughout the week, throughout the NFL season. And Mike, I'm excited to be here with you.
I'm excited to be with you again, Ben. I mean, we've worked together on the network, various shows, of course, but delighted to be here with you. Delighted to be at Circa. You know, I've always heard great things about Circa. I've been here once or twice from a broadcasting standpoint. But now to do a show, do the Lombardi Line with you here, I could not be more thrilled. So let's get after it. It's football season. You got cut day right now. So much news to go over, too. So from a betting standpoint, buckle up your seatbelts. We got a lot to deliver you today.
Oh, not only today, but we're 9 days out now. Oh, yeah. Week one getting underway with the Bills and the Rams a week from Thursday night. So, yes, a lot to get to. And like we've had as well, this little Lombardi Line, it's not a new show by any means. So we'll have a lot of our favorite guests from the past will continue to be on this show as we go forward into this football season, including Will Hill. He is one of our guests. He's going to join us a little bit later this hour at 12:45 in the afternoon on the East Coast. And then Mike Sando, outstanding and a longtime NFL writer, now for The Athletic at Sando NFL, who's been one of the best longtime NFL beat writers, going to join the show at 1:15 Eastern. You mentioned cut day. I know that has to be a bittersweet day for you as a player, because most people would say in the National Football League, this is probably the toughest day of the entire calendar season, whether you're an executive having to make the cuts, if you're a player realizing your dream with at least the team you were with in the preseason is over. So we've seen some of the news trickle out already. We'll react to some of the, there's been a couple of trades, some interesting guys who had pretty good preseasons who were cut, but I'm sure this brings back interesting memories for you. And I got to think it's one of those days, whether you're a player, GM, personnel guy, you just want to get through it, forget about it, and then move on to the season.
You do, Ben. I mean, it's so bittersweet because, you know, as a player myself, I was never in this situation where I had to worry about a cut day.
You're though, too but, good.
But, you know, for the guys, the younger players, you know, in this situation, your heart goes out to those guys, right? And, you know, there's a lot of emotions in football, and there's a lot of emotions when it comes to the blood, sweat, and tears that you put out there, and certainly you want to make a good name for yourself or make a name for yourself in the league. And I think you have to be encouraged by the fact that if you put out good tape, some other team's going to pick you up. And then there's always a practice squad situation too. So it's not like it's the end of your career. For some guys, it will be. That's the realization that football now is over for you for the rest of your life. But the bittersweet part of it, or the sweet part of it, is now we're going to forge our team together now. So now we're getting ready for the season. And so your mentality shifts. It's no longer about evaluation. It's more about, okay, now what kind of team are we going to become? And you start to get focused on that. So you're looking forward to that as a team, as a member of the roster, but definitely a difficult day for personnel people because they have to deliver the news. And then certainly for the younger players that have to receive the news, it's just a tough, tough day.
Yeah, it's funny how, like, you know, we make fun of Hard Knocks. They just run it back. It's the same thing every year. And every single year this episode, it's just, you know, the downtrodden coach. He's like, this is the worst.
It's the drama of it
all. This is the worst day of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got to tell the guy, and then they all leave, and it's like, all right, this is a business. We get that. Obviously, it's very difficult because if, you're a player, you're in the middle of it, but, that's sort of the reality.
You know what bothers me, though, is when the head coach says the exact same thing
to every time.
This is,
give him the handshake.
Tough decision,
pat on the back. Right. He's like, you got my info.
Yeah, if there's anything I can do for you.
I always think, like, if you're a player, are you realistically, like, you know, Sean McVay cuts you. It's like, you're going to text him during, like, week three.
Right.
You know, it's like, hey, coach, just wanted to follow up on our conversation.
Right,
you got any leads for me? He's like, hey, man, I'm game planning for the Seahawks.
All right.
Maybe next week, you know?
You said
that work?
You said that, look, if you can do anything for me, you can do something for me right now. Get me a job somewhere. But, you know, I want to see somebody explode in front of a coach, though. Like, what do you mean cutting me? What are you talking about? You're cutting me. I want to see that.
Mike, you can unretire. I mean, you could be that.
No, it's too late for that.
A little too late.
Yes.
One injury too many for you to go back. So while that's kind of the storyline of today, and something that Mike and I, we were talking about off air, we're going to get into in a little bit, is how some of these cuts and some of these trades that we've seen, there have been a couple of minor trades, but some that do bear worth talking about at least and have some sort of impact on the season. Does kind of tell, don't you think it does say a lot about where these teams at least view themselves from a personnel standpoint? Like, if you're still making moves for potential starters, and the big one was the Saints and Eagles trade, which we're going to talk about here a little bit later this hour, that kind of tells you a lot, right, about where these teams view themselves at heading into a season, where if you're tinkering with your personnel too, it's not just the cuts, which are, again, those are always guys that are going to be fringe players anyway.
Right.
That's a really interesting element, and that's something we're going to have to track and we'll continue to look at as we go on further here throughout the cut day and over the next couple of days as these rosters get solidified.
Ben, I think a trade during cuts is significant. And, you know, you got Gardner Johnson from the Saints going over to the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a contract situation right there cannot be resolved with the Saints. You wonder about the depth, but then also the Saints are saying, look, we can let this guy go. We can trade him and get something in return. And we're going to be okay. I think defensively, the Saints have a playoff caliber defense. You know, Gardner Johnson going over to the Eagles, which is going to be interesting because of what they want to do with coverages, right? Are they going to be that 4-2-5 nickel and you're going to have an extra corner on the field at all times? Are you going to move them to safety too? So it adds some depth to a situation out there in Philly that I think a lot of people are excited about as well. I think this trade is a win-win for both teams.
Yeah, it looks solid on both fronts. It's Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and a Saints seventh-round pick in 2025 to the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for a fifth-rounder in 2023, and then the worst of the Eagles' 2 sixth-round picks in 2024. Right. Those head to New Orleans. That was the main trade of today. And yeah, at least like Pro Football Focus ranked the Saints secondary seventh in the NFL, and Gardner-Johnson was supposed to be their starting nickel corner. So this is clearly a legitimate contributor that Philadelphia can have. And Eagles also released Anthony Harris, who at least had slotted in to be their starting safety. So
well, if you think about
that's very interesting to see that too.
Right. I mean, if you think about the future with the Saints too, I mean, you got Honey Badger there. He can play some covered stuff too, as well as safety. I think they're covered, you know, when you're thinking about, okay, we're not going to come to a decision here with Gardner Johnson in a contract situation. They got Bradley Roby, who was a number one overall pick, not number one overall pick, first round pick. And he's decent as a third corner, too, at times. But your frontline guys, Lattimore, certainly, Adebo as well. I mean, you got quality components here. And then on top of that, you're not doing anything outside the scope that you want to work with or work within when it comes to that salary cap.
It's funny that those two teams are the ones that had the trade. Two teams getting a lot of buzz in this preseason, both the Eagles and the Saints. And that part of the big theme of today's show is looking at preseason overreaction and what are these storylines are actually warranted. We're going to talk about that here a little bit on the show. Of course, the big story of the last couple of days that has had big impacts and the ripple effect here on the National Football League, or lack thereof, you could argue, is in San Francisco, where we did get the details just last night from Adam Schefter on the actual contract situation now for Jimmy G. So the restructuring here, Garoppolo staying in San Francisco, and it's going to be a $6.5 million base deal, fully guaranteed, with another about $500,000 in roster bonuses. There are play time bonuses that could boost it to nearly, you know, another near $9 million or so. But looks like he's from about this, anywhere from about $7 to nearly $16 million is kind of the range here. Of course, we assume that's going to be more like $7. However, you at least, like with a guy like that in the room still, and you at least now have an insurance policy, which I realize is a very weird label to assign a guy in Garoppolo who was a Super Bowl starting quarterback just a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Does this change anything for you, the way you look at the 49ers season outlook, when you consider how good that roster is and the infrastructure with Kyle Shanahan, but the general uncertainty surrounding Trey Lance as he enters his first year as a starter?
Ben, it gets me more excited about this football team. I mean, I've
seen that look in Pitch's eye time or two.
I have been high on the 49ers. I actually picked them to go to the Super Bowl this year, even with Trey Lance, even before this development with Jimmy G. What Jimmy G does, it bolsters this roster. Think about it. If Trey Lance does stumble, then you have this insurance policy and Jimmy G who wants to be there. So I can attack this from two different layers here because there's always two sides to a story. There's a business side and then there's the on-the-field side. Let's start with the business side. Jimmy G got permission from the 49ers to go seek out a trade. He was going to have to restructure his contract anyway, right? To go to some other team. it got late into the process, Ben, and okay, if I'm really going to have an opportunity to go to another team and assume the starting quarterback role, I think it's too late in the process for that. So let me go ahead and restructure my contract here and still be a viable option if needed with the 49ers. And I think from Jimmy G's standpoint, if we go to the Super Bowl and win, then how good does that look on my contract too, or next my next contract, or my resume anyway, looking forward to my next contract. And then on the field, like I just mentioned, if Trey Lance stumbles, if Trey Lance does not live up to expectations, then you can go back to Jimmy G and be very, very confident and comfortable in doing that. The roster has familiarity to that standpoint. I think you still have trust between Jimmy G and Kyle. The playbook would change, but yet you still have that insurance policy. So for me, the only question mark going into the season was for the 49ers was quarterback, right?
Yeah.
And now they've solved and answered that question. So I'm extremely high on the 49ers. I got to temper that down, to be honest with you, because I don't want to be overreact too much, right? I don't
want to overreact too much. Mike is usually just a bastion of, all right, let's just be even keel. Let's not overreact. Yeah. You're ready to go, man.
It's just a
surprise you didn't have a red, you know, the red jacket
today. It's a great situation, though, because I love the roster. It's the ultimate team game. And I love the fact that the 49ers have one of the best rosters in the National Football League right now.
I still have a couple questions.
Okay.
Of which we're going to get into in our next segment.
Okay.
Primarily of which, it's kind of an interesting thing. We're just sort of assuming Jimmy G is going to be, and he hasn't really been even a part of practice or anything, part of the team in the preseason. Granted, he's been part of the system, so it shouldn't be
He knows the playbook.
It's not like he's playing that much catch-up, but
is he just
going to be good with this, like just cooling his jets on the sideline all year? And my bigger question, which I'm going to ask you about next, how much of a leash does Trey Lance have if you have a guy like Garoppolo waiting in the wings? And how does that affect maybe the psyche and the general locker room of this team that had presumably bought in to Lance going in? We're going to ask Mike that question when we return. Fun show on tap today. We're just getting started. It's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. As we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line, this is our new Tuesday crew here during NFL season. Because, you know, Patrick Maher, he's got to sleep at some point. I mean, he's doing everything. Patrick and Michael Lombardi, they are here pretty much. They'll be Wednesdays through Mondays. Every single at least for Patrick, Thursdays through Mondays. Michael starts the 6 day a week stretch next week.
That's
when you know football is here, when Michael Lombardi's on 6 days a week on the Lombardi Line, which will be starting next week. But for now, Tuesdays throughout the NFL season with Mike Pritchard, I'm Ben Wilson. Going to be a lot of fun for us here this fall. What we started the show with, Mike, what we were just talking about, is your opinion and how high you now are on the San Francisco 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo, at least being a part of that group and at least being an insurance option if things go south with Trey Lance. The question I have is similar to what we saw in New England, where Mac Jones was able to beat out Cam Newton for the starting job, which is certainly a different, you know, it's not like Garoppolo was actually playing. They had made the decision beforehand, but we saw how the locker room, once Jones was named the guy, the locker room, they wanted to rally around their quarterback, and they were very, very much in support of him being the number one guy. So my question is, and you've been around, I mean, NFL locker rooms for, you know, a dozen years, would know this better than anybody. Mm-hmm. What is the locker room going to be like? Let's say Lance gets off to, you know, a shaky start and the team is, you know, like, because you have to think, it's not going to be perfect for Lance. Let's say there are the ups and downs you would expect out of a really young quarterback. And let's say the leash is a little bit short and Kyle Shanahan's like, hey, I've got this really good quarterback ready to go in. What does that do to the locker room, and how short do you actually envision that leash being on a guy in Lance, who you're part of a franchise that is expected, this is not a rebuild, this is a Super Bowl or bust type season this year based on the expectations. How do you think that all ends up playing out in the end?
Well, I think the locker room is going to be okay. It's a veteran-laden locker room too, right? They got a tremendous amount of leadership in there. And then you got to look at the decisions and how honest John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan has been with this situation. I'll go back to this. When they named Trey Lance the starter as his team, obviously they felt like he could handle it. And Kyle Shanahan's talked about that. Now, his play on the field is going to dictate how well he's handling this situation as a starting quarterback for lofty expectations, right? But you still have that insurance policy. So the dynamic in the locker room, here's the answer to your question. Jimmy G, even in the face, Ben, of a third overall draft pick quarterback and a guy that was apparently going to be the starter at some point, in the face of all that, he still had that team a play away from the Super Bowl. If the safety, forget his name right now, catches an interception against the Rams, they're going to the Super Bowl. And so Jimmy G did that in the face of the fact that Trey Lance is already there, right? Now, was he ready? No. But yet, this is still my team, and he was still able to be a leader out there for that football team. Now, I think Jimmy G is challenged from a playbook standpoint. That's why they're making the decision going with Trey Lance. But yet, this is the ultimate insurance policy. And I think from a backup quarterback standpoint, Jimmy G has experience behind a starter being there, you know, in tough times, right? And certainly helping a team that's poised and ready to make a Super Bowl run. That's why, I'm even higher on the fact of that. I don't want to overreact to it. Trey Lance still has to do it on the field. But I am trusting the decision process from this organization, though.
And you would have to think as well, I mean, what we saw out of Garoppolo was that clearly under Kyle Shanahan, like they schemed so well for him. If you look at there's the website, the RBSDM, they do a lot of the deep dive quarterback stats, which is a really good resource to look at, especially if you're trying to handicap and power rate quarterbacks. They do, if it's the EPA, the expected points added per play, along with the CPOE, that's the completion percentage over expected. So basically, based on the scheme, what your completion percentage is over, you know, divided by what the expected completion percentage would be. And Garoppolo's been near the top of that list really throughout his entire tenure. If you look at that overall composite score, only Rodgers, Burrow, and Mahomes were better than Garoppolo a season ago. So it's not really this ask, well, obviously we know what you have in Jimmy G. It's more, are you a believer that the scheme, because that was the thing with Jimmy G, like it was certainly scheme dependent and he was able to be set up for success. How much of that will actually apply to Lance, who's certainly a much, much different type quarterback, right, who's going to be more run first? Is it going to be that level of efficiency once he gets more of a sense of the playbook that presumably Lance got this offseason?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you're excited about the scheme change with Trey Lance out there in Kyle Shanahan, because Kyle Shanahan is going to be more creative. Like I mentioned before, you're limited. The sky, you're certainly limited with Jimmy D in terms of what you can get to in a playbook. Now the playbook opens up all over the field for Trey Lance, whether you want to be creative in a red zone, you can do that. Remember, the 49ers, they're a run-oriented football team, and then they generate the pass off of that. They're not typically that drop-back play action or drop-back type of prolific offense right there, right? So, you know, you like the play action. You like the creative RPO stuff. You like the fact that Trey Lance can throw the football on the run and can also be that, have that option with the run. So many things about the National Football League is very, very interesting, too, because, like, Jimmy G, if he's just a pocket passer, Ben, he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Matt Ryan. He's not Matthew Stafford. I'm just trying to go over all the elite pocket passers in the National Football League. I threw Matt Ryan in there. Maybe some people might not believe he's elite. You know, Kirk Cousins, that kind of thing. Jimmy G's not that. But he's good enough and serviceable enough to get you in a situation in the playoffs, right? But maybe Trey Lance is the answer that gets you through the playoffs into a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're curious about, because the majority of the league is, as a quarterbacking standpoint, is Trey Lance. They're athletic. They want to incorporate RPO. You also want to incorporate the fact that you can get to that extra eligible when you rush the football and even pass them the football. So the majority of the league is much like college football today when it comes to quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And so that's why the affinity for Trey Lance is there with Kyle Shanahan and the fact that he wants to work with this guy. But now you have an insurance policy that you can go back to the old playbook that has been successful if you need to with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, and you see now how the win total, there's been action there, pretty much evenly juiced across the board at a 10 at this point, plus 150, your second choice to come out of the NFC West. And tomorrow on the show, Mike Pritchard's going to show up wearing a San Francisco 49er helmet, I would have to think. Mike Pritchard, the former Falcon, Seahawk, and Bronco, but you never played for the Niners.
No, I was always envious of the
49ers. I mean, you're in the league when Steve Young,
right?
And it was like, it was, I mean, T.O. was just coming into the league when you were more of a vet, but they, like, Jerry Rice was still at the top of his game, and they,
Montana, I mean everybody was there with the 49ers.
Being envious.
Well, I was envious of that team, but the thing about even Steve Young, and I'm not comparing Trey Lance and Steve Young.
I'm not doing that.
What I'm doing, though, is a projection. Like, even a young Steve Young, he ran a 4.4. A lot of people don't realize that. Very athletic quarterback, right? And he would scramble around, and he would make these dynamic plays, and you were excited about that. But once he became a pocket passer, that's when it all settled down for Steve Young, and became a Hall of Famer. So, I mean, Trey Lance, even Lamar Jackson, these type of quarterbacks, they got a long way to go before they get to that level. But the start and the foundation is very similar to what we saw from Steve Young early on.
Yeah, that's a very interesting kind of way down the line comp. But there's you can see kind of the raw embers in that that could potentially tie together going forward. Speaking of the we talked about Mike's former teams, the Broncos, one of your former teams, getting a lot of buzz this season. As we told you about, this is cut day, and there's also a bunch of transactions flying around the league. So we'll keep you up to date as these come in. A couple that just that popped here within the last 10-15 minutes, both involving the Denver Broncos. A trade: Malik Reed, the linebacker, he is heading to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a late draft pick compensation. And then Josh Johnson, he does not win that backup quarterback job in Denver. So he had played for the record 14 NFL teams. Had a pretty good preseason, all things considered. Josh Johnson loses out to Brett Rippon. We just talked about your envy of playing with Steve Young. You did have to deal with some poor quarterback play in your time. So I know you understand what these battles are like in training camp. Fair that it was more just an age thing for Josh Johnson, and your opinion with how good he looked in the preseason?
Well, yeah, I think it's more of a money thing, too. I haven't really looked at the contract of Josh Johnson or what it entailed, but Rippon's the younger guy. And so Johnson played well enough, but yet so did Rippon. And I think the decision was like, okay, Russell Wilson, we're fairly confident that this guy is all that. I mean, he's going to keep himself in shape. Hopefully he'll avoid something significant. But if something does happen, we still have confidence in Rippon. And Rippon has more familiarity with the team, too. He's been with the organization for a while. So when you're thinking about the wide receivers and Sutton and Judy, you have more familiarity that way with Rippon that way. So I can see why they made this business decision. Who's a better quarterback? Okay, Johnson, you can make an argument that he might be a better quarterback. But to me, this is more about the contracts and the business side of things.
The reality is, if it's Brett Rippon suiting up in a real game, something's gone wrong in Denver. That is sort of the reality for this year. We'll keep you posted again as all these transactions come in today. Cut day around the National Football League. Up next, we were just talking about maybe some of the preseason overreaction. There's a couple of interesting Week 1 line moves that are really on the move. I want to get Mike's thoughts. Are we overreacting already? And we also will really excited to unveil some new tools we have here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll talk some of the prop tools that we have for you this season. That's next here on the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
It's football season, and bettors know that this is when the money is made. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN subscriber and get our comprehensive college and pro guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Sign up early, and for a discount of $175, you'll receive both guides and full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl. Or join us for $40 a month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Ben Wilson back with you alongside Mike Pritchard here from our Circa Sportsbook Studios in downtown Las Vegas. Big thanks as well to Matt Santos, our outstanding producer behind the glass, Andrew Ingold, our technical director, everybody else here behind the scenes in downtown Las Vegas. We're 9 days away, Mike. I mean, everybody's fired up. We've got the new lineup here at VSiN starting today, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Lombardi Line ain't going anywhere, but this is going to be great to be with you here every single Tuesday throughout the NFL season, Mike. And just in general here, we're starting to see line movement now on some of these Week 1 games, which is kind of fascinating. A lot of the movement we're seeing, and you could probably make a case that there's going to be a lot more shifting and changing in these lines over the next 9, 10, 11 days before we get into that first Sunday of Week 1. But a lot of these are based off of general preseason takeaways. Mm-hmm. And Two in particular stand out to me. One is in Miami, where we saw pretty early a lot of the, you know, that when these lines were all hung back in, you know, April and May, a lot of the respected money came in pretty much right away on New England expectations. You've talked about this on Betting Across America, how high you were on New England in general coming into the year. And so Patriots pretty much market wide. They were about a 2.5 point underdog in Miami. Bettors were not giving Miami the full three. However, with how abysmal of a preseason this has been for New England, you really haven't heard a single positive thing out of Patriots camp. That line is now back up to a consensus Dolphins -3, as you're seeing on your screen right now via VSiN.com at this point. Is that an overreaction, or are you believing in this move being pretty legitimate based on everything you've seen in the preseason, where we've heard a lot of good things out of Miami, and I don't think we've heard a word of positivity coming out of Foxborough?
Well, I mean, what evidence do we have right now, right? I mean, I think that's what people are making their decision on when it comes to this line in the movement. We know in history, New England has a tough time playing in Miami. It doesn't matter, you know, certainly from a personnel standpoint, who's there. I mean, they just have a tough time playing in Miami. Maybe that could feed into a decision to, maybe because we saw Tua throw a deep ball to Tyreek Hill and all of a sudden everybody's excited about that. I wouldn't overreact to that. I wouldn't be excited about that because he underthrew him, one. And then how many times are you going to have a low percentage pass play like that happen in a game? Right? I mean, and that's the thing. Like, that big play in preseason, okay, we're going to take a shot. It's vanilla coverage. We know what's going to happen. Let's just air it out and see what happens. You're not going to do that during a regular season unless you have that, right? Unless you feel good about that. So knowing what New England was last year defensively, and that's the thing I'm leaning on with Belichick early on until they figure it out offensively, would be the fact that he's such a mastermind when it comes to defensive football. And the personnel on that side of the ball gives the Patriots a chance to kind of figure it out offensively, right? And I know they're going to run the football a little bit more. They implemented the wide zone rushing scheme. And so Stevenson's an incredible back. I think they have several options right there in the backfield. So certainly taking pressure off of Mac Jones, this is what they want to do. Now, can they make their plan work? But with that defense and the personnel that they have on that side of the ball, early on in the season, I think they're going to be highly competitive.
Right. It's so interesting, too, because you have kind of two things at work here. And for those of you who watch the Man in the Arena documentary, Tom Brady talked pretty openly about this, how September was meant just to be kind of a building, growing season anyway, even when the Patriots were at their best in their dynasty.
Right.
And you kind of expected, not necessarily slow starts, but you at least internally, they did not expect to be up to speed right away. And that was kind of the sign of how good that organization was. They knew what they had. They could build up to being really, you know, really elite by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. You combine that with, as you mentioned, the struggles they've had historically in Miami, but you also kind of contrast that with it being Mike McDaniel. It'll be his first game as a head coach, like brand new play caller. You're going, we've seen how the Belichick, the whole psyche thing has gone against these opposing coaches, especially in division, especially when they're rookies. And there is still a whole lot to be decided here this season, a big make or break year for Tua. So I don't know how you can have much confidence laying a number if you're Miami, even with all the negativity around New England. Even with everything we just laid out, that's why, at least to me, this is a total stay away in week one. But man, you're to just blindly be like, you know what, we're ready to trust McDaniel and Tua without having seen anything of reality, like you just pointed out. That's a hard leap for me to make.
Yeah, I mean, McDaniel, and you know, I know his background because he's from Colorado a little bit. We went to school out there, and you know, you kind of hear stories about him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, a rookie head coach going up against Bill Belichick out the gate. Right. And he could be a mastermind calling plays offensively, but I look at that quarterback. I still have questions about what they're going to do. Waddle lost a lot of time in training camp, too. He'll probably be ready to go. I get it. But again, last year, Belichick and that defense, they were second in the league with points against.
Yeah.
17 points a game last year. And that's with a rookie quarterback who's probably going to make a lot of mistakes out there. But then you have a rookie quarterback going through an offensive change and a philosophy. I get it. There's going to be wrinkles. You're going to have to iron them out. And at some point during the season, maybe they figure it out. Maybe they don't. But defensively, Belichick has not forgotten how to play defense, right? And I think go back and study Belichick matching up against this type of scheme. Hell, he's running that scheme now that McDaniels wants to implement. So it comes down to personnel to me. And, you know, depending on the line, it's moved. I mean, look, Miami, again, maybe the trend because the Patriots, they just don't play well in Miami. But my goodness, or maybe people overreacting off of the preseason, like you said. But I mean, I I would pump the brakes a little bit on that
If that thing gets to 3.5, and there's at least DraftKings is already juiced on the Miami 3. If that thing gets to 3.5, that would be very, very tempting, at least in week number one. A little bit later in the show, I'm going to ask Mike about another week one line move that we're seeing. Browns-Panthers, that is now up to Carolina, pretty much market-wide now, -2, which is we're going to need to do a deep dive into that. One other thing that we're really excited to announce as well this week, along with our new show lineup here at VSiN, it is our new VSiN Pro that you can be a subscriber for, and we have all sorts of new betting tools with that. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, which is a kind of a retooled avenue here for our VSiN, and what was VSiN Plus that we offered to a lot of our subscribers. So a lot of really, really good insights. One of the things we're excited to roll out this season, and it's already live, you can do the deep dive into it if you are a subscriber right now, is looking at some of these prop markets, especially the player prop, the general tools that we have on offer. And I know you're somebody who, you do like to dabble in the player prop markets as well. Mm-hmm. And we have really cool tools now online as part of the VSiN Pro subscription there, just to try and give you a better idea, A, the trends where a lot of where the numbers are set and where player A has gone when the number is X, how many times over the past season or so. So I'm curious what your player prop strategy is going to be this year. I know you've been very open. You've tried to hone in your strategy. You've been very, very open to trying to tinker with things over the years. And you're the former wide receiver, so you're always going to be a little bit slanted to your guys, the wideouts.
Of course I am, Ben. What are you talking about?
There are a lot of good there are going to be a lot of good avenues out there, especially with how tight we've seen this market become.
Yeah.
It's not a new thing, the NFL market, the most efficient market in the sports betting world. As a result, kind of by proxy, some of these prop markets are really, really intriguing.
Yeah, I mean, I love the tools here from VSiN Pro from that aspect because, I mean, just point out Cooper Kupp. Was 12-5 to the over in 2022, from a standpoint of, what his player props could be, right? And so you could track all of the stats here and really have a system, if you will, if you want to, by tracking information. It's no different than if you had a portfolio, which you know about me. I have a portfolio when it comes to betting Major League Baseball. I'm going to do the same thing when it comes to betting pro football, too. And so being able to actually outline and track whether or not I'm going to do it on my own spreadsheet or let VSiN do it with the Pro Tools here, I mean, I think this is so valuable. So from a player prop standpoint, I'm highly intrigued because I know when the league turns into a matchup league, and I know when offenses want to feature matchups as opposed to be more scheme-oriented. We mentioned that. So there's a ton of opportunities to highlight along the way all year long, not only with wide receivers, because it's a franchise position. You heard me say that.
Of course.
But with running backs, too, and quarterback situations. Yeah. I mean, the familiarity aspect, the continuity aspect, he certainly coaches how comfortable they are calling plays with a particular player at quarterback. You're going to be able to recognize, at least I'm going to be able to recognize that. So I'm excited about everything player prop oriented coming up this season.
The thing I would probably highlight the most with these, and a lot of times people, trying to figure out numbers on player props, they're just going to look at box scores and kind of look at overall season data. You look at the per game basis, and that's kind of how you go off of it. But obviously, not every game or player's season is created equal. And so, what we have here, we're sort of highlighting here which players have the highest ROI, which players are like kind of the average per prop, high and low ends, though, as far as boom or bust, which is kind of a big thing we use in fantasy as well. So, very, very actionable insights that we can have now, again, as part of VSiN Pro. So, again, become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You get access to all of our pro tools right now. You get real time betting splits, 3 sets of exclusive power ratings, prop analyzer, which we just talked about, and more. Again, that is VSiN.com/subscribe to check that out. Still a lot more football discussion to come on the Tuesday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. And up next, we welcome in our guy, Will Hill, frequent contributor and guest here on the Lombardi Line. Will's ready to go for NFL season. He's already made a bunch of plays. We're going to talk to Will about all of his thoughts on that and more when we return here on the Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher. Yeah.
Attention BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager is settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. You know who my refer a friend would be, Mike?
Let me take a guess. I'm going to say Mike Pritchard.
Oh, I mean, I feel like we're locked in at the hip.
Of course, right?
Not to break your heart here.
Oh, no.
I was going to say Rob Moreno, who is responsible for many of our animations you see at the network. And I say that solely because Rob and I are each sweating the same tennis match right now. U.S. Open.
You set me up then. Right on air. You set me up. Because I thought you were looking right at me. You're like, yeah, I would name you.
I mean, you and I, we've shared many a golf round and adult beverage together. We have not shared the refer a friend yet, but
thank
we might have to change.
I know where I stand with you now.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Appreciate
that. It's $50. All right?
So if I was a
Our friendship is not worth $50.
If I would have placed a tennis bet, though.
If you would have bet on Kaya Kanepi today against Teresa Martinkova, I would have been like, yeah, you're definitely my refer a friend. But you know what? Me and Rob, we're riding Kanepi. She's up 5-2, up a set in 5-2. So we're feeling pretty good right there. Speaking of, we're talking about the U.S. Open in Flushing Meadows. We go out to New York. Our guy, Will Hill, host of the New York CityCast presented by Bet Rivers. I know you can appreciate a good tennis sweat, especially for us here where it's, 9:45 in the morning, sweating tennis already today. So I know you can appreciate that. Have you played any of the tennis? I'm guessing you haven't because I know you have a ton of MLB and NFL plays as well we'll get into. But you have to get out there, Will. I mean, there's sweating live tennis when you're in Flushing Meadows, a tradition unlike any other.
Yeah, and don't worry, Pritch. I felt misled, too. I thought the refer a friend, and guess who it's going to be? I thought it was going to be me, too. But it's not the case. It's unfortunate, but I'm happy to be with you guys. I love this duo, Pritch, Ben Wilson. The bosses at Veasan and Bill Ady, they know what they're doing. Put the two best-looking guys together. The female viewership will be through the roof. So this is well played by Veasan. I'm happy to be on with you.
Numbers are spiking as we speak right now, Will. Hey, they're just going
easy,
up and
Will.
Up
easy,
and,
Will.
Up and up and up. So we were just talking, Will, overreactions for week one. Some of the numbers, getting Mike's thoughts on how that Patriots-Dolphins line is now up to 3 market wide. I know you're interested in another game, though, in week one here where Giants see them. You look around the market at this point, Giants pretty much consensus now, as we take a look here, are in that up to now 5.5, or even some books have moved to 6 on the road against Tennessee. And I know there's certainly a side here that you are liking, and it might maybe kind of goes counter to some of the preseason narratives we've seen so far.
Yeah, there were some 6.5s, and I never like to bet 6.5. I want to be greedy, wait for that 7. Well, it's kind of moved against me now where it's 5.5. Again, shot for the 6. The 6 has become sort of a quasi-key number with all the teams randomly going for 2, missing extra points once in a while. So 6 is more key than it used to be. If you can find a 6, I would certainly grab that here with the Giants. To me, I just think they're going to be better coached with Daboll. I think they'll be healthier. We all remember the Giants at the end of last year. They were just not even a competitive NFL team. It was basically like, a college team trying to play in the NFL. They couldn't get the ball past midfield. But when Jones was healthy, they were competitive. They beat the Saints in New Orleans. They beat Philly. I think they'll be better health-wise. They'll be better coached. And to me, I'm looking to fade the Titans. If you look at the Titans, no A.J. Brown, a tough schedule. And Derrick Henry, between 2019 and 2020, had over 800 touches. The most in the NFL in 19, the most in the NFL in 20. Remember last year he got hurt. He came back for that playoff game. He had 20 carries. He did not look the same. And by the end of the season, he's going to be 29. So I know he's a physical freak. And you never really want to bet against these type of guys, but an older running back, to me, I think Tennessee, a lot adds up for them taking a step back this year with the lack of wide receivers, Henry getting older. I think the Giants will be a little bit better. So I will be playing the Giants here plus the 6 in week one.
Well, I like that thought process. The only questions I would have is in regards to Daniel Jones, because, a lot of information or whatever, and people that are consuming the information, you're hearing the fact that he might not have the confidence. He's got a new regime. He's up against it. He's got a prove it situation. But it seems like he's going to be able to handle it, right? I mean, he's an athletic quarterback. Daboll has been coaching athletic quarterbacks. And so I expect them to really give him a lot of offense to see what he's capable of this season.
And hey, it's the NFL. So for newer bettors, this is an uncomfortable feeling. It's new. It goes against. Yeah. It's kind of counterintuitive.
Right.
You want to bet the good quarterbacks. You want to bet Rodgers, Mahomes. But the books adjust that. If you want to win in the NFL, it's not pretty. It's not fun. But you just sort of have to plug your nose and bet on these bad quarterbacks at plus numbers. You want to do it all the time. You don't want to do it blindly. But you have to have a little bit of a stomach, a little bit of an appetite to take a quarterback, a team that's not sexy. Because again, you just bet the Chiefs, the Packers, the good quarterbacks, the good teams every week. That's the, you know, natural thought when you start out betting, but you learn you got to take the points with some of these guys.
And Will Hill, you can give a follow to at not the Will Hill. He's already in pinch the nose, hold the stomach mode, Pritch. He's going Giants there in week one. You can find plenty of sixes out there as well. And all of Will's plays, you can check out as well. VSiN.com for our VSiN Pro subscribers. We've got our daily summary as well if you are a subscriber there. So check that out. Picks at a glance is what we're offering now for Will and all the rest of our guests here with all of their outstanding plays. Pritch, we were talking about earlier, he's really high now on San Francisco. He was before Jimmy G was set to stay in San Francisco. He's really high on them now with that insurance policy. What say you on this interesting debate we've been having here over the past couple of days with Jimmy G now staying in San Francisco to back up Trey Lance?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. It sounds like Lance is a year away. It's just sort of that awkward thing where, you know, a couple breaks up, but they're still living together. And that's Garoppolo. He's kind of the attractive ex-girlfriend, and they're still living together. So there's always going to be that temptation. If Lance isn't playing well at halftime, if you're down two scores and you need to throw the ball, you're down 10 with 8 minutes to go, do you trust Lance? Do you put him in the situation where, hey, he needs to learn how to do this? He needs to grow. He needs the reps. Or do you just give into that temptation where, you know, Garoppolo, for all of his flaws, and I think his biggest flaw is he gets hurt a lot. He's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. He's a middle tier quarterback. But there's going to be that temptation there if you're the 49ers, when you're down in a game, when you're down at halftime, when it looks ugly, and it's going to look ugly at times. There's going to be that temptation here to insert Garoppolo. But hey, you're a better team with him on your team as opposed to on somebody else's roster.
You know, Will, when it comes to handicapping games too, or situations like, you know, we'll focus on quarterbacks. You know, we've talked about quarterbacks, Trey Lance, the whole situation with Jimmy G as well. And we just mentioned Daniel Jones too. But I think people might be forgetting about defense, right? I mean, even early on, like, is defense ahead of offenses, right? I mean, these offenses – Russell Wilson is going to be the first time on the field with this new team in a regular season game. We don't know what that offense is going to look like. We hear it's great, but we're not going to know for sure. But is there any way that you would lean towards defenses, in particular Miami versus New England, like a defensive situation for Belichick and that personnel?
I think you have a good thought. Defenses don't need the timing as much as the offenses need the timing and the reps. So defense, you would think, would be ahead of offense. The only thing that would keep me off of that theory is this emphasis on illegal contact. You know, third and five, you get off the field. Well, you see that flag and they call illegal contact. Well, that's a drive and that usually leads to points. And not only are they going to call more, but there's going to be an emphasis on the defense that, hey, they're calling this. Do not be physical. And if you're not physical with these receivers, it's very hard to guard them. I think we saw that in the early goings of the preseason where there's a lot of points and there's an emphasis not only on the refs to call illegal contact, but on the defense to not commit illegal contact. What sort of secondhand effect does that have? So that might keep me off of your theory, which I think is a good one, though.
I mean, it's a great point you make, Will. And we're going to have more insights from you. I know week one, again, 9 days away from the start of NFL season. Before we get you out of here, though, I know you are still making daily MLB plays. Again, as we talked about our daily report there of all the plays for VSiN Pro subscribers. Yankees lose their third in a row last night, even though Aaron Judge hits his 50th home run. Jameson Taillon's trying to snap the streak tonight again, laying a pretty big price there in Anaheim, taking on the Angels. What do you like there?
Yeah, if anyone's been listening to the podcast, it's a well-documented streak on the New York CityCast, 14 in a row, which doesn't even sound real. It sounds fake. It sounds like one of those people that said they win every day. But I've won 14 picks in a row on the New York CityCast. So VSiN.com/podcast. Sorry to get that gratuitous plug in there.
Oh, dude, I didn't know. Yeah, that. I know. Keep the streak going. Let's go. And so you're gonna talk about pinching the nose. That's a theme. You're gonna fade the Yankees again today.
They get in these slumps, they get in these streaks where they can't hit and they just never seem to come out of them. Like these good teams like the Dodgers, the Mets, the Braves, they lose one or two in a row, you know they're going to snap out of it. The Yankees, you never know when they're going to snap out of it. They had a streak where they lost 13 out of 15 a couple weeks back. They just have a lot of problems. Kiner Falefa, Donaldson, Torres has regressed. There's a lot of outs in this lineup. Taillon has not been great the second half of the season. I can only look at the Angels here taking the run and a half.
All right. And then real quick, you're looking over there in Dodgers-Mets big series at Citi Field tonight.
Yeah, I don't play a lot of overs, sort of a weakness in my game, but I think there's going to be a lot of runs. Walker has regressed the second half, similar to last year. You look at his underlying metrics, he should not have as good of an ERA as he does. He's given up 13 runs his last 18 innings or so. I think the Dodgers with that lineup will hit him, and I think the Mets should be able to get some runs across against Heaney, so I will go over the 8.5.
Andrew Heaney, one of the weaker starters there for the Dodgers. Will Hill, host of the New York City cast. Give him a follow, not the Will Hill. Awesome catching up with you, man. We're going to see you basically every Tuesday here on the show. Can't wait all football season.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Nice
Absolutely.
To see you guys.
All right. Check out Will Hill again at Not The Will Hill. It plays Mets, Dodgers over 8.5 going Angels on the run line. Minus about $1.15. Hour number one in the books. We'll look at all the top headlines in the NFL on the other side here on the Lombardi Line.